4CRB 89.3 FM, your radio station.
And a very good morning to you. It's John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group back with you for another program of The Law and You this Tuesday morning. And what an important Tuesday morning it is, the first Tuesday in November, and of course the running of the Melbourne Cup today, in case you happen to have missed it. Don't know how you could have, been all over the news this morning, but hope you have a wonderful day if you're attending a function for the Melbourne Cup. But remember to gamble responsibly if you intend to do so. But this morning, it's your opportunity to get free legal advice between now and 9.30. That's 10.30 Tweed Coast time. All you need to do is get on that telephone as soon as you possibly can. Our phone number is 55208888. That number again, 55208888. And don't forget that you can also send through questions by email if you wish to. And our email address for questions is talkback@4crb.com. Very easy email address to remember. So that's talkback@4crb.com. And we do have a question that has come in by email that came in last Thursday, but the person has said that they don't finish work until 9 a.m. and they'll be driving back later. So they asked if I could leave it till a little bit later in the program to deal with. So I'll certainly do that. But enough of that. We have someone who's very quick out of the stalls this morning. Good morning, George. How are you today?
Oh, good day, John. Thanks for taking my call.
No trouble. How can I help?
John, where I live on the northern end of the Gold Coast, there's a lot of quarries and concrete crushing plants and big heavy trucks in and out, and they leave a lot of big, sometimes not just rocks, but boulders on the road.
Mm.
There's been a lot of residents have their cars damaged.
Yep.
The council knows about it. The companies know about it. Been an ongoing thing for probably 5 years. They've had meetings, progress association meetings, and it just hasn't changed one iota.
Mm.
And a car, a very expensive car, was damaged just last week, and no one wants to know about it.
Right. Look, it is a very difficult issue. There's absolutely no question about it. It would come down to what the conditions are that the council has put on the operation of the quarries, and so therefore some of these quarries very well may have been approved many, many years ago when there were very few conditions put on. But one would think that purely from the point of view of public relations, that these quarries would endeavour, or the operators of the quarries would endeavour to make sure that they put in place processes that are going to prevent these incidents from occurring. Sadly, probably the only way that you're going to, well, there are two things I can suggest. One would be that that you continually bombard your local alderman in relation to the matter with complaints in relation to the matter, and organise people to just keep contacting the alderman, keep putting pressure on, or your councillor, I should say. They don't call them aldermen anymore, but the councillor for your area and the area where the quarry is, and I think that's probably the only way that you're going to be able to do it. The other thing, of course, would be for example, for someone to bring a claim against the quarry, and perhaps the person with the expensive car that was damaged might be the person to do it. But the difficulty may be that if the possibility is that these rocks are coming from more than one quarry operator, so if you've got several different named quarries operating in the area, that makes it all the more difficult. But if it's possible to identify that the rock has been left on the road from a particular quarry, then it almost might be worth bringing a claim against the quarry to make them realise that people are going to take this very seriously, and that the quarry operators need to put in place a procedure that is going to ensure that when the trucks are leaving the quarry, that there's no possibility of loose gravel or rocks being on the truck and falling onto the road. So I would suggest, George, pressure on the on your local councillor probably the only thing I could recommend, and perhaps pressure on your local state member of parliament as well.
We've done all that, John.
To no avail.
Any more pressure, and they'd be as flat as a bit of cardboard. We've had the environmental EPA involved. We've had council meeting. The council says the state matter. The state says the council matter.
It's a classic buck passing, isn't it? Well, it may be that you perhaps give consideration to a class action against the quarry operator. That might be another alternative for it.
They'll blame each other. One will say the rock didn't fall off our truck.
Yeah.
One of the residents, quite a few of the residents, have had their cars damaged. They've had photos taken with. And not only just the boulders on the road, the roads themselves are just absolutely so pathetic that what the cars are doing now is going on the other side of the road because it's a little bit better, and then that's risking having a head-on with the oncoming traffic. And
it's
the whole area surrounding these quarries, the state of the roads are just absolutely appalling. But this has been going on and on and on, and I think these companies are just too big for their own boots and
That's often the way. But George, the other thing to do though is to organise a concerted campaign against your local councillor and your local member of parliament if they're not doing anything about it and keep passing the buck, because at the end of the day they want to get re-elected, and if you can bring enough pressure to bear, then you can find a candidate who's going to commit themselves to sorting the problem out for you, that might give you a chance. But if you wanted to, you're up the northern end of the coast, could I suggest that you give the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre and Advice Bureau a call? I'll give you their number if you've got a pen.
Yeah, sure. I'll just...
Yep, 5532. 5532 9611. They do operate in various areas on the Gold Coast, but you could make an appointment to go in and see them and just talk to them about the possibility of perhaps organising a group of residents to bring a class action against one of the quarry operators.
Was that 5532 9611?
That's the number.
Okay,
George, all the very best, but I certainly share your frustration.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Cheers now. And the time on 4CRB, 13 minutes past 9, that's past 10 on the Tweed, and we say a very good morning to Margaret. G'day, Margaret, how are you today?
Fine, thank you. I have a quick question for John, please.
Talking to you right now, Margaret. How can
I
help?
Good morning, John. I was just wondering, would it matter, because my present address is different to that on my will?
No, that won't make any difference at all, Margaret. You don't have to worry about the fact that your address has changed.
Oh, good. Thank you.
So it'll still be quite valid, and I would only bother changing the address on your will as and when you've got a more substantive change that you really need to make. So don't worry about it for the present.
Well, I've got it as New South Wales, but I'm presently in Queensland.
Even that doesn't matter, Margaret. The will, as long as the will was properly made in the state where you made it, it is still a valid will, and the mere fact that you've moved from New South Wales to Queensland doesn't affect it in the least.
Good. Thank you very much.
Okay, Margaret, all the very best.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye now. And the time on 4CRB is just coming up to 14 and a half minutes past 9, past 10 on the Tweed, and we say a very good morning to Margaret number 2. G'day, Margaret. How are you?
Oh, good morning. Yes, I believe the other lady didn't say name.
Yes.
Just an inquiry in regard to compulsory third party with insurance with your registration. I was in a situation where my own car rolled down a very steep driveway and I was sort of pushed out of the way, consequently had a few injuries, but when I went to make a claim, they've told me that it's only if it's my car had hurt someone else or injured someone else, not your actual self. Is that true?
No, that's quite right. That's why it's called third party. So the purpose of third party insurance on your vehicle is to ensure that if you run into another car or into a person walking along the street, that third party is covered by the compulsory component. So unfortunately, if your car takes off down your driveway and runs you over, it's not you're not covered by that.
Oh. and all the years I've been driving, I just thought it was covering for any injury or death.
Yes.
You certainly live and learn in a terrible, tragic experience like this. But
yes, well, the other thing, of course, to bear in mind, too, is that if you're in a motor accident and, say, two cars collide and you're injured, it won't cover you. Your own third-party insurance won't cover you in that situation either. You would only be covered if the other vehicle was at fault, and then you would make your claim as the driver against the third-party insurance of that vehicle. So it's a little bit of a trap for young players, but that's certainly the way it works.
Oh, great. I just wanted to confirm that that was correct information. I appreciate you taking my call. Thank you very much.
No trouble at all. All the very best, Margaret. Cheers now.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
And the Law and You is the program. 5520888 is the phone number. If you have a question or a query, please don't leave it to that last 10 minutes of the program, where invariably we do get often swamped down with a number of calls and I have to take some off air. 5520888. And just reminding you of our email address, talkback@4crb.com, which brings me to the email that was sent in by Christine on Thursday of last week. In February, she said that her car was stolen from Southport and she was insured with Coles. Now, the car was recovered within 14 days and the insurance company did all the checks on the car to make sure that it was okay, and it appears that it was taken on a joyride to Burley. Now, the police arrested two fellows and they were charged and went to court in June. But Christine had to pay her excess of $650 and was told that if they arrest someone, that she should get her excess back as long as their names are on the police record. Now, the insurance company applied for the record before the men went to court and was told, and the insurers told them, told her that there were no names on the document. She went to the police and they told her it was on their computer, etc., but couldn't tell me, and suggested that she have the insurer apply again, which they did in early July. Now, the insurance have said they have again applied, but there are still no names, and they've told her that she won't get the excess back until they know the names. And rightly so, she's saying, well, look, I'm the victim here because it was my car that was taken. Clearly there was no, it appears there was no damage to the vehicle, although there was obviously cost involved in checking the vehicle to make sure it was okay. And so she wanted to know what she could do in that situation. Well, Christine, I thought that you were able to get a report from the police, particularly if the matter has gone to court, that you were able to get a report from the police yourself, advising you of the names of the perpetrators, and that you should be able to get some document from the insurer, from the police, which you can give to the insurer, which will identify them. Unfortunately, today we've got all these issues about privacy and goodness knows what. You can no longer go to the Main Roads Department and do a search of a motor vehicle registration and find out the name and address of the driver anymore because of privacy issues. And I sort of understand that to a certain extent, because unfortunately in this time of all these road rage incidents that are happening, it's probably appropriate that people's particulars are kept secret or kept private. You can in fact get that information if you've been involved in a motor accident, but there is a process that you need to go through to get it. So it's no longer just a case of doing that search and getting the information. And I believe the situation is similar with the police in that you know, you can no longer ring the police and get the name and address of a person who was involved in an accident who might have run into your car because of all this privacy rubbish that's going on. So the only thing that I could suggest you do, Christine, as I say, particularly because the matter's been to the court, been before the court, unless the people who took the car were juveniles, their name should be on the court record. And therefore, it should be possible for you to get the particulars of who the people were who've been charged, so that you can pass that information on. So I suggest that you go back to the police station, explain the problem you've got, and ask if you can get some form of report from them or a letter confirming who the perpetrators of the offence were, so that you can at least pass that information on to your insurer. So I hope that'll help you a little bit in relation to that. And Christine, if all else fails, you can always contact the Financial Ombudsman Service, who cover insurance as well, and their phone number, you can find it on the web. So if you just look up Financial Ombudsman Service, it will give you the number. And I believe from your email, you're probably driving home at the moment, so can't take the number down. So, but for those of you listening out there who may be interested in the number for the Financial Ombudsman Service, it's 1300 780 8008. This is The Law and You for CRB 89.3 FM. We'll be back after this word from our sponsor.
The weight training's paying off, Beth, even at our age.
There's another weighty discussion we need to have, Frank.
My waistline?
No, pre-planning with Somerville Funerals. We should do it. We can lock in today's prices, and I want to decide on the details. It'll be a weight off our shoulders.
And my waistline.
Oh, Frank. With a prepaid funeral from Somerville Funerals, your payment is safely held in a trust until needed. Visit somervillefunerals.com.au.
Another sponsor.
To commemorate the 100th anniversary, the ending of World War I, Twin Town Services Club is presenting their 2018 Armistice Day concert featuring the Queensland Services Heritage Band. This concert promises to be an afternoon of unforgettable music and songs that our servicemen and women took with them to distant shores. The Twin Town Services Club Armistice Day concert, Sunday the 11th of November, 1 p.m. Queensland time. Tickets $5 from our sponsor Twin Towns booking office and online at twintowns.com.au.
And this is The Law and You on 4CRB. The phone number 5520888. If you have a question or a query, get on that telephone right now. We presently have no callers online, so you will be able to get through, notwithstanding the fact that we're in the last 10 minutes of the program. So please call now 5520888. There were a couple of other things that I did want to talk about today, and particularly with today being the Melbourne Cup, just a little reminder to people to make sure that you're very careful if you intend to place a bet, how you pay for that bet. You should not use your credit card to place a bet, because if you go to the TAB or you you bet online and you use a credit card, all payments to gambling are regarded as a cash advance. And so therefore, if, for example, you had a credit card that has a credit limit of, say, $10,000, and you've presently got $5,000 on your credit card, and it's always your practice to pay your credit card off in full when the payment date falls due, but you unwittingly go to the TAB or go online and place a bet for, say, $10 on the Melbourne Cup today, just placing that $10 bet will incur a cash advance fee, which is normally around about $2.50. But the other staggering thing is that it will mean that everything that you have purchased on that credit card in your current billing cycle will no longer be interest-free. So when you get to the end of your billing cycle, you'll get a shock, because not only will you have interest on that $30 bet you placed, but all of the other purchases that you've made during the month will also be subject to interest. So you could find yourself with an interest bill of $100 or so for that month simply for placing that bet. And the other thing, too, that you should bear in mind is that if you have a credit balance on your credit card, so say you've got your credit card and it's got, say, a $50 credit balance on it, do not transfer that credit balance to your bank account, because most of the banks, even though you're in credit on your credit card, will charge you, again, a cash advance fee, because transferring money off your credit card to any bank account is regarded as a cash advance, even if you're advancing your own money. So, as I say, if you've got a $50 credit on your credit card and you think, oh, look, I'll just transfer that over to my savings account, just beware, because the majority of banks regard that as a cash advance, and you'll get a nasty surprise at the end of the month. So that's just one for today. The other thing, too, to bear in mind, of course, is that we only have 49 days to Christmas now, and And so that's something to really bear in mind. And in the upcoming weeks, I'll just be talking a little bit about purchasing presents and the issues that you can sometimes face with the purchase of presents, and when the presents aren't satisfactory, that sort of thing. So we'll come to that. But enough of that. We've got Graham online, who'll undoubtedly be our last caller for the day. Good morning, Graham. How are you today?
Good day, John. I'm well, thanks. And you?
Well, indeed. Thanks. How can I help you?
This is one about probate. It's
sure.
New South Wales.
Yep.
My wife is an executrix in the situation, and one of them has opted out.
Mm-hmm.
We're just doing some paperwork identifying, actually to complete for applying for probate.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like there's like costs and fees up front
yep.
to actually lodge the application. Are those able to be claimed via settlement? Obviously an authority release assets.
Mm.
Can you claim your part of that fee from the deceased estate?
Well, all of those fees are recoverable from the estate. So all of the
right.
expenses associated with the application for probate, all filing fees, etc., any expense legitimately incurred in the administration of the estate, including obtaining probate of a will, are expenses against the estate, and in fact they're a first priority in payment. So those expenses must be paid before any other expenses or payments are made out of the estate.
Okay. It looks like the filing fees and all that get paid up front.
Yes, unfortunately they do. So
yeah.
you're in a situation where you've basically got to you've got to stump that money up. But you certainly will be entitled to receive that money back when assets start flowing into the estate. So don't be too okay. concerned about that.
Okay, it's only a very small estate, about 140 grand all up.
Mm.
Are there any other costs likely apart from solicitors' costs, or are there any other fees, taxes? Anything?
Well, you always need to be careful about tax. So you need to make sure that the deceased's tax is up to date. There are two returns that will need to be lodged. There'll be one, this is assuming that the deceased was a taxpayer. She was a pensioner. Okay, so
yeah.
normally there would be a return up to date of death and then a return from date of death to the date of finalisation of the estate. You do need to publish, it may be with the New South Wales probate advertisement, but just check to make sure that there's an appropriate notice given that the estate is going to be distributed and that any creditors should come forward. And there's normally a notice period under that that people can come forward and make a claim. And the other thing, of course, to bear in mind is that you just need to be aware of the period of time within which a claim can be brought against the estate before proceeding to make any distributions, particularly if there's any likelihood that there might be someone who will make a claim against the estate. So, because if the executor distributes prematurely before the expiration of that period for notice, then the executor can be personally liable.
Yep. Okay.
All right, then.
Excellent, John. Thank you.
Okay, Graham, all the very best.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Well, thank you to all the people who've called in today. I'm quite surprised. I was thinking we'd be struggling a bit for calls on the Melbourne Cup day. Everyone's at home studying their form guide. I must tell you, I have absolutely no idea of even the name of a horse that's racing, let alone placing a bet, although I should imagine we'll have a sweep at the office, so always nice to get involved in that. John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group, it's been great to have your company today. I'll look forward to being back with you next week, but until then, as always, it's goodbye and God bless.